A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sim. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 240. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are talking about Codename Icarus. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Codename Icarus is a five-part children's spy-fi, if we can use that term, spy-fi show from the BBC in 1981. Five 30-minute episodes broadcast on children's TV. Tell us about some of the themes involved in this show, Brian.
Well, it's interesting because it definitely has these espionage themes going on, but you're also looking at a child, a young teenager, who is apparently a genius working with physics and math, and we are dealing with his story about sort of discovering his gifts more and being discovered and going to this fancy school, but his skills being co-opted.
Yes, that's right. A strange mixture of, as you say, teenage prodigy who gets caught up in, all sorts of mysterious goings-on, as we'll discover.
Yes, absolutely. So Martin is this teenage schoolboy who, as we said, turns out to be this math and physics prodigy. And he is sort of astonishing his teachers with these problems he's working on. And using the school computer. So the computers come into this as well. And he's solving these sort of complex mathematical problems and things.
Yes, and so, of course, when he's using the school computer, something weird happens in that he starts getting sent more and more complicated puzzles by an unknown user. And, I mean, obviously computer networks existed in 1981, but they weren't very commonplace, Brian. I don't think most schools or viewers would have been aware of them. I mean, I certainly wasn't back then.
Yes, that's right. And this is sort of a point where computers and certainly networks and things were not yet commonplace. So for the audience, they were still a little bit exotic, which is sort of interesting when looking at this.
So the mysterious user turns out to be a representative. In fact, he turns out to be the head of a special school for very gifted children who have particular talents that they want to nurture at this school. And so Martin is offered a place at Falconley School, which is, as we say, a very exclusive private school for these talented teenagers run by the Icarus Foundation, which initially appears to be a benevolent foundation supporting this educational establishment. But as, of course, the story progresses, well, there may be more to it than that, Brian.
Yes, for sure. We see this school as something that is sort of very unusual and caters to the children's desires and what they want to do academically. It is sort of pushing them ahead and all of these things. And what we gradually learn is that their skills may be being put to other uses. And there is, of course, something sinister going on here. So the characters in this, Martin Smith was played by Barry Angel. He's this 15-year-old math wizard. And he is enjoying the challenge of Falconley School once he gets there. And, you know, all of the things that it offers. But over time, of course, he begins to have his doubts about the school and what they are doing and why.
So then, of course, at the school, we have this head teacher, John Doll, played by the actor Philip Locke, who I'm sure if you Google him, you'll recognise from lots of British television, often playing slightly sort of sinister characters. But here he is, apparently, as the very benevolent head of this school who has recruited Martin through these computer puzzles. But of course, he has links to the Icarus Foundation, and there is a mystery, no surprises about that, which we will discover as the show progresses.
Yes, absolutely. Sue Kleiner, played by Debbie Farrington, is another Falcon Lee student who is working in biology and life science type things. And she and her work has a place to fit into what is going on as well. And of course, she becomes the friend and person that Martin can work with to try to discover what's going on.
And then attached to the school characters, I suppose we have to consider that there are a number of characters involved in the shady world of British intelligence. In particular, we will mention Andy Rutherford, played by Jack Galloway. Now, he works for British Naval Intelligence, and the part we haven't really discussed yet is that the very first episode of Codename Icarus, we see the British Navy involved in a missile test, which goes disastrously wrong when their missile explodes for some unknown reason. And Andy Rutherford is the agent assigned to find out what's going on. And of course, his investigations will start to lead him to, obviously there's going to be a connection, as we will find out.
Yes, what we have in this show is something where we have two very different groups of characters in very different situations doing very different things at the start of the show. And you know, and of course you can see that those two are going to come together in time. And how they do is part of what makes this one interesting. So once Martin is at Falcon Lee, he is introduced to something called the game, which becomes quite important to this, where they have these situations where students are brought in one at a time for almost psychological manipulation, with an individual teacher asking questions and doing strange things with sounds and images. So we get some strange things happening here, which contrast the other realities we see of the school, where the students are being catered to by their teachers in a sort of almost reverse of the usual hierarchy that you might see, until you're in the game where it flips around and is quite intense in what's being brought to bear on the students.
Yes, it's all a bit weird at Falcon Lee School, as you can probably gather. I mean, Martin, like the other students, he gets his own room. He's allowed to decorate it and furnish it how he wants. They've got this weird intercom system that he can sort of like summon assistants. We don't see an awful lot of actual tuition going on at the school, although obviously the students have been encouraged with their own particular subjects that they excel at. But as you say, Brian, we do get these weird sequences, particularly where they're invited one by one into the squash court for this cross-the-table sort of interrogation almost, this weird business that the tutors call the game. It's all very strange.
Yes, it's very interesting because the situation they seem to have outside of that one room with the game seems to be sort of an idyllic thing from the point of view of, you know, a 15-year-old, very bright and academically inclined person, where they get all these opportunities to work on the subjects that they are most interested in, and the tutors are calling them sir rather than the other way around. Everything is sort of serving the needs and wants of the students. They can request any kind of food to their room when they want to, and they can request how they want things decorated. It's all, you know, very much catering to their whims, really. And then you go into the game where all of a sudden it's like they're being interrogated and treated very harshly. So you get a contrast being set up there that is an interesting one.
And also, of course, of interest is Martin's work, his research. And it seems at the school he's moved from solving mathematical puzzles to working in advanced physics, and in particular in subatomic physics, which is really of interest to John Dole. But when he's not working on his physics work, he, in his spare time, he's a bird watcher. And of course, he is using binoculars, looking out the window, following birds. And then he sees something rather mysterious that disturbs him greatly and has implications for what's really going on at this school and Martin's future there.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, we're going towards something where something quite sinister is happening there. And ultimately, Martin will need to get out. So it's interesting, and they do actually have quite a bit going on here.
Yes, lots of interesting subjects and topics, which we'll get to more in our next episode. We've tried to find some production notes. We haven't got an awful lot that we've discovered, Brian, but we can set out some of it.
Yes, absolutely. Codename Icarus was created and written by Richard Cooper, directed by Marilyn Fox.
And scientific advice comes from Professor John Taylor, according to the credits. And there's also a thank you in the credits for the Imperial War Museum at Duxford in Cambridge, not all that far from where I'm recording now. I wonder if that was used for some of the control room sequences for the missile launches and so on. I'm not quite sure what they did at Duxford, but obviously there was a thank you and a note in the credits for them.
It was produced for the BBC in 1981. We will note this has some slight things in common with the movie War Games, the Matthew Broderick film, which actually came out a couple years later. But really, I think this is quite a different thing. But it did come out a couple years earlier.
Yes, and it does get mentioned on the DVD cover, which we'll get to in a moment, which is probably why, you know, we're referencing it now. But yes, this is a sort of different type of show. And as we say, a couple of years before that film.
The location for the school was a large country house in Hampshire, which looked very good, I think. It had the feel of something like this.
Yes, the outside shots of the school and its grounds are very good. And as you say, it does look the part for an exclusive private school. And it's in a bizarre twist of fate with sort of life imitating art. It has since become a private school called, bizarrely, the Farley School. So not too dissimilar to the Falconley School of this programme. Apparently, there was a Farley School already in Hampshire, which then basically they've moved to this large country house after this programme was made. So whether Richard Cooper was referencing Farley, I don't know. But it's odd that this place is now actually a school which has a very similar name to the one in Codename Icarus.
That's great that Falconley has almost sort of slipped from fiction into reality there. That's lovely.
Yeah. I don't think we've had that one yet on British Invaders, but there you go.
Codename Icarus was broadcast on the BBC from December 8th through December 22nd in 1981.
Yes, that's right. Two nights a week, unusually. So quite a quick sort of schedule for this programme. The other thing we like to mention is if there's any spin-offs from these TV shows that we watch. And there is a book from Codename Icarus. Richard Cooper did, in fact, write the novelization himself. And that was also published in 1981. And if you look for it, you will find secondhand copies on the various marketplaces of that paperback.
Yes, this is definitely the kind of time where novelizations of shows were a big deal. And if you didn't see original broadcast, that was, at the time in the early 80s, how you might get to look at that story was to buy the book.
So, talking about the availability of the paperback, of course, brings us to the availability of the show itself to watch. And as usual, we start in Region 2. But here, we actually have a bit of a mystery, because although there was a VHS release in 1985, which, of course, is long since deleted, and who has a VHS machine these days anyway, But there's no DVD release here in Region 2, so it's unusual at British Invaders. But here I am saying Brian's line, there's no DVD here. Over in Region 1, though, Brian...
In Region 1, there is a DVD release that came out in 2006 with digitally remastered copies of all five episodes. Looks quite good for what it is. Doesn't have any extras on it, but it's available for about $12 on Amazon.com and about $16 on Amazon.ca in Canada. So, available, not all that expensive, and as stripped down, but quite serviceable release.
Okay, so if you want to get hold of it here in Region 2, you have to get the Region 1 DVD, which is available on Amazon Marketplace here. That's where I got my copy. It costs about £20. And, of course, you will need a region-free or a multi-region player to be able to watch it here. Sadly, my Blu-ray player wouldn't play it, so I had to watch it on the computer. But anyway, it is available. You can get hold of copies of this Region 1 DVD. It's still out there, as is, I say, the paperback book, which you may find very cheaply on the marketplace if you want to track down the book.
Yeah, you probably get a better deal if you import from North America, if you're in the UK, I would guess.
Yeah, I've not looked at that. That might actually be a cheaper option as well. If you want to look on YouTube, you will find bits and pieces of this show. We don't normally send people to YouTube, but you may want to catch a few minutes of it and see if you can remember the show or if it's something that interests you. So you may find some of it there. But of course, these things do come and go on YouTube as they get taken down.
Yes, absolutely. That's right. So I think that wraps things up for the first half of our discussion here.
Yeah, please come back next time to Codename British Invaders when we will get to talk about the Icarus Foundation itself and, of course, the developing mystery that we've hinted at that involves the dark world of espionage in a kids' show.
Yes, absolutely. And we will also look at the strange mix of science and espionage and brainwashing that form this sort of children's show from the early 1980s.
And of course, we'll get to our own recommendations on whether you should invest in the DVD set for your shelves and for your screens. So plenty to talk about next time, Brian.
Absolutely. Until then, you can find us at BritishInvaders.com. And if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find our Facebook group there where we have always some fun things to talk about. And we may even have a chance coming up to win a copy of the DVD for this.
Yes, that's right. If you're familiar with our Facebook group, you'll know what's happening to my DVD after I've watched it. So stay tuned. And of course, do come and join us and tune in at the Voice of Geeks Network, which is an internet radio channel where they broadcast all sorts of geek-related shows, including British Invaders, where we go out on Mondays and Tuesdays. You can find all this fun at vognetwork.com. Come along, have a look at us and the other shows, see what you think.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. And until next time, it's Codename Eamon also signing off.